Thank you for being a valued supporter of the 10X Podcast Group. Your dedication means the world to us. Today, we bring you a historical review of Trinidad and Tobago, a journey through time. Your continued support and subscription fuel our passion for storytelling, and we deeply appreciate every moment you spend with us. So, without further ado, let's dive into today's compelling narrative. Chapter 1: The First Settlers, Arawaks and Caribs. Before the hum of machines and the clash of empires, there was silence, broken only by the whisper of wind across untouched shores and the rhythmic crash of waves on golden sands. This was the world of the first settlers. Arrival on the shores. Over 7,000 years ago, long before Columbus's sails cut through the Caribbean waters, the islands of Trinidad and Tobago were vibrant with life. The first settlers, ancestors of the Arawaks, migrated from the Orinoco Basin in present-day Venezuela. Drawn by the promise of fertile lands and abundant seas, they navigated the treacherous waters in canoes carved from towering cedar trees. Their arrival was marked by an intimate understanding of the land. To them, Trinidad, then known as Yer, the land of the hummingbird, was not just a destination but a sanctuary. Tobago, with its lush forests and hidden coves, became their haven. Arawak life, harmony with nature. The Arawaks lived in harmony with their environment, creating communities that thrived on the land's natural bounty. They were skilled farmers cultivating cassava, maize, sweet potatoes, and beans. They hunted small game, fished the bountiful waters, and harvested fruits from the forest. Their society was matrilineal, with power and property passed down through the women, reflecting a deep respect for the feminine as the source of life. Villages were built with care and precision. Oval-shaped huts, or ajupas, were made from palm fronds and wood, providing cool shelter against the tropical heat. In the center of the village stood the communal canai, a larger structure used for gatherings and ceremonies. Life was communal, centered on family and collective well-being. Their spiritual world was equally rich. They believed in zimis, spirits who inhabited the natural world, influencing everything from harvests to the health of their communities. Rituals, dances, and songs connected them to these unseen forces, creating a culture deeply intertwined with nature. The Caribs, warriors of the sea. Not long after the Arawaks established their foothold, another group arrived. The Caribs, fierce warriors and skilled navigators. Unlike the Arawaks, the Caribs were known for their martial prowess and territorial ambitions. Their arrival brought a dynamic tension to the islands, as the two groups vied for dominance over resources and land. The Caribs introduced new elements to the island's cultural tapestry. They were adept at crafting dugout canoes capable of navigating open seas, which they used for trade, exploration, and warfare. Their diet was similar to the Arawaks, but included more emphasis on fishing and hunting. Unlike the Arawaks, Carib society was patriarchal, with a focus on warrior culture. Conflict between the two groups was inevitable. The Caribs, with their superior weaponry and tactics, often raided Arawak settlements, taking captives and expanding their territories. Yet these interactions were not purely hostile. Trade, intermarriage, and cultural exchange also occurred, creating a complex relationship that shaped the island's early history. The islands as a living entity. To both the Arawaks and the Caribs, the land was sacred. The islands were not just places to live, but living entities with spirits that demanded respect. Mountains were the homes of gods, rivers were veins of life, and forests were sanctuaries for both man and spirit. Every tree felled and every animal hunted was accompanied by a prayer of gratitude, a far cry from the exploitative practices that would later come with colonization. The stories passed down from these early settlers spoke of the origins of the islands, of gods and heroes who shaped the land. One such tale spoke of the great serpent who coiled around the mountains, creating rivers and streams with its mighty slithers. Another told of the hummingbird, a messenger of the gods, bringing wisdom to the people. The calm before the storm. For centuries, the Arawaks and Caribs coexisted with the land, their lives marked by cycles of planting and harvest, conflict and peace, birth and death. Yet their world was fragile, vulnerable to forces beyond their control. The first Europeans who glimpsed these shores would later bring changes so profound that the islands would never be the same again. As the sun set over the islands each evening, casting golden hues across the waters, the first settlers could never have imagined the storms, both literal and metaphorical, that lay ahead. For now, the islands were theirs, untouched by the ambitions of distant empires, a haven of life and culture cradled by the Caribbean Sea. Chapter 2, The Age of Exploration, Discovery and Conflict. The horizon shimmered with promise and peril as foreign sails pierced the calm waters of the Caribbean. For the Arawaks and Caribs, the arrival of these ships marked the beginning of an era they could scarcely comprehend. A collision of worlds that would forever alter their lives. The arrival of the Spanish. In 1498, on his third voyage to the New World, Christopher Columbus set his eyes upon the verdant shores of Trinidad. Naming the island La Trinidad in honor of the Holy Trinity, he anchored near what is now known as the Gulf of Paria. The Spaniards, awestruck by the island's beauty and abundance, were equally intrigued by its inhabitants, the Arawaks and Caribs. To the indigenous peoples, the Spaniards were an enigma. They arrived with towering ships, gleaming armor, and a sense of entitlement that the Arawaks and Caribs could not have anticipated. Initial encounters were marked by mutual curiosity, but beneath the surface lurked the seeds of conflict. Early encounters and misunderstandings. The Spanish explorers, driven by their quest for gold and glory, misinterpreted the Arawaks' hospitality as submission. In contrast, the Caribs, wary of outsiders, met them with suspicion. Stories of the Spaniards' strange customs and insatiable greed spread rapidly among the indigenous communities, deepening the divide between the two worlds. The Spaniards' fascination with the land's potential resources fueled their ambition. Gold, spices, and exotic flora and fauna were treasures they sought to claim for the Spanish crown. However, their lack of understanding of the land's ecosystem and the indigenous people's way of life led to early tensions. Conflict and resistance. It did not take long for the Spaniards' intentions to turn hostile. They sought to subjugate the Arawaks and Caribs, forcing them into servitude. The Arawaks, known for their peaceful nature, were ill-equipped to resist the Spaniards' superior weaponry and tactics. Entire villages were decimated, their inhabitants enslaved or killed. The Caribs, however, proved to be formidable adversaries. Their warrior culture and knowledge of the terrain allowed them to mount effective resistance against the Spanish incursions. Using guerrilla tactics, they ambushed Spanish expeditions, leveraging their intimate understanding of the island's forests and waterways. Despite their bravery, the Caribs faced an insurmountable challenge. The Spanish brought not only weapons but also diseases, smallpox, measles, and influenza, that decimated indigenous populations. These diseases, to which the Arawaks and Caribs had no immunity, spread like wildfire, leaving entire communities devastated. The transformation of the islands. The Spanish began reshaping the islands to suit their needs. Forests were cleared for agriculture, and settlements were established, the most notable being San José de Orona, the first capital of Trinidad. The land, once revered as sacred by the indigenous peoples, was exploited for its resources, and its people were treated as tools for conquest. The Spaniards also introduced Christianity, imposing it upon the Arawaks and Caribs. Missionaries arrived, intent on converting the indigenous peoples and eradicating their spiritual practices. Temples were destroyed, rituals forbidden, and zimis desecrated. The indigenous worldview, which saw humanity as part of nature's intricate balance, was replaced with the Spaniards' belief in dominion over the earth. The loss of sovereignty. By the early 16th century, the Arawaks and Caribs were no longer the masters of their lands. Their sovereignty had been eroded by the Spaniards' relentless pursuit of power and wealth. The Arawaks, particularly, bore the brunt of Spanish exploitation, their numbers dwindling to near extinction. The Caribs fared slightly better, their resistance forcing the Spaniards to negotiate temporary truces, but their way of life was irreparably altered. Despite these tragedies, the spirit of resistance endured. Oral traditions, hidden rituals, and the blending of indigenous practices with Christianity allowed fragments of Arawak and Carib culture to survive, forming the roots of Trinidad and Tobago's identity. A new era dawns. As the Spanish solidified their presence in Trinidad and Tobago, the islands became a focal point in the European race for control of the Caribbean. Other powers, France, Britain, and the Netherlands, would soon set their sights on these islands, recognizing their strategic and economic potential. For the Arawaks and Caribs, the age of exploration marked the end of their dominion over the land, but not the end of their legacy. Their stories, their resilience, and their connection to the islands remained, echoing through the generations. The shores of Trinidad and Tobago, once untouched sanctuaries, now bore the marks of conquest and conflict. The stage was set for a turbulent future, as the islands became a battleground for the ambitions of empires and the survival of its people. Chapter 3, Colonial Struggles, Spanish Rule and African Enslavement. With each passing year, the Emerald Isles of Trinidad and Tobago became entangled in the web of European ambitions. For its people, new rulers brought new burdens, and for the land, exploitation replaced harmony. Spanish consolidation of power. As the 16th century progressed, the Spanish crown sought to strengthen its grip on Trinidad and Tobago. Trinidad, with its fertile lands and strategic position near the South American coast, became a valuable asset. Meanwhile, Tobago remained a contested territory, its lush forests and hidden bays making it a haven for pirates and a prize for rival powers. The Spanish established settlements like San José de Orona, St. Joseph, intended as administrative hubs and symbols of Spanish dominance. However, these settlements struggled to thrive. The tropical climate, frequent raids by Caribs, and resistance from indigenous peoples created challenges for Spanish colonists. Despite these difficulties, the Spanish persevered, driven by dreams of wealth and the mandate of empire. The encomienda system. To sustain their presence, the Spanish implemented the encomienda system, a labor arrangement designed to exploit the indigenous population. Under this system, Arawaks and Caribs were forced to work in agriculture, mining, and construction, ostensibly in exchange for protection and religious instruction. In reality, it was a brutal system of exploitation. The labor demands placed on the indigenous peoples were relentless, and many succumbed to overwork and disease. By the late 16th century, the Arawak population in Trinidad had been nearly eradicated. The Caribs, known for their resilience, retreated into the interior of the islands or migrated to other parts of the Caribbean, where they continued to resist colonial forces. The introduction of African enslavement. With the indigenous population decimated, the Spanish turned to Africa for labor. The transatlantic slave trade brought thousands of Africans to Trinidad and Tobago, marking a new and harrowing chapter in the island's history. These men and women were torn from their homelands, shackled, and transported across the ocean in inhumane conditions. Upon arrival, enslaved Africans were subjected to grueling labor in plantations and settlements. They were tasked with cultivating crops like tobacco, cacao, and later sugarcane, which became the backbone of the colonial economy. The plantation system, though not yet as expansive as it would become under later colonial powers, laid the foundation for centuries of systemic oppression, resistance, and survival. Despite the harsh realities of enslavement, African resilience shone through. Enslaved individuals formed communities, preserving fragments of their culture through music, dance, and oral traditions. These cultural practices not only provided solace, but also became acts of defiance against the dehumanization they endured. Some enslaved Africans escaped into the forests, forming maroon communities in the rugged interiors of Trinidad. These maroons lived off the land and launched periodic raids on Spanish settlements, disrupting colonial operations and inspiring hope among the enslaved population. Tobago, the island of contention. While Trinidad became a Spanish stronghold, Tobago's history during this period was far more chaotic. The island changed hands multiple times as European powers, Spain, Britain, France, and the Netherlands, vied for control. The absence of a dominant colonial power made Tobago a battleground for competing interests. Pirates also took advantage of Tobago's fragmented rule. The island's hidden coves and dense forests provided perfect hiding spots for smugglers and privateers, adding another layer of complexity to its colonial struggles. The role of the church. The Catholic Church played a significant role in shaping colonial life in Trinidad. Missionaries worked to convert both the remaining indigenous population and enslaved Africans, often using religion as a tool for control. Churches were built alongside colonial settlements, serving as both places of worship and symbols of Spanish authority. Despite the church's efforts, many indigenous and African spiritual practices persisted, often hidden beneath a veneer of Catholic rituals. Syncretic religions began to emerge, blending traditional beliefs with Christian elements. These spiritual practices became vital sources of identity and resistance for the oppressed. Economic challenges. Despite their ambitions, the Spanish faced numerous challenges in maintaining a profitable colony. Trinidad's economy lagged behind other Caribbean islands, such as Jamaica and Barbados, which had embraced large-scale sugar production. Frequent raids by rival European powers, along with internal rebellions, further weakened the colony. By the late 17th century, Spain's hold on Trinidad was tenuous. The island's sparse population, limited resources, and geographic isolation made it less attractive to the Spanish crown, which began to focus on more lucrative territories. This neglect would leave Trinidad vulnerable to foreign incursions in the centuries to come. The seeds of change. The colonial struggles of this era planted the seeds for profound transformations in Trinidad and Tobago. The mixing of indigenous, African, and European influences began to shape a unique cultural identity, even amidst the brutality of colonization. The resilience of the oppressed, whether Arawak, Carib, or African, laid the groundwork for future resistance and survival. Though the Spanish claimed the land, they could not fully erase the spirit of its people. Beneath the weight of conquest and exploitation, the heartbeat of Trinidad and Tobago endured, waiting for its moment to rise again. Chapter 4, Buccaneers and Smugglers, The Wild Era. Beneath the tropical sun, the Caribbean became a theater of chaos, a region where lawlessness and ambition collided. On the shores of Trinidad and Tobago, pirates and smugglers left their mark, challenging colonial power and shaping the island's history. The rise of buccaneers. As the 17th century unfolded, Trinidad and Tobago, nestled in the heart of the Caribbean, became a magnet for buccaneers and pirates. These rogue seafarers capitalized on the vulnerability of the Spanish Empire, which struggled to maintain control over its sprawling territories. The islands, with their strategic location and abundant natural harbors, provided ideal bases for their operations. Buccaneers, initially privateers sanctioned by European powers to disrupt Spanish shipping, soon turned rogue. They preyed on Spanish galleons laden with gold, silver, and other treasures extracted from the Americas. Among the most feared was Sir Henry Morgan, a privateer-turned-pirate who raided Spanish territories with ruthless efficiency. While Trinidad was somewhat sheltered due to its proximity to South America, Tobago, with its remote and rugged terrain, became a hotspot for pirate activity. Hidden coves along Tobago's coastline served as perfect havens for smugglers and pirates to repair their ships, divide their loot, and plan new raids. Smuggling in Trinidad. In Trinidad, smuggling became an integral part of life as Spanish colonial neglect created economic gaps. The sparsely populated island, struggling with underdeveloped agriculture and trade, relied on contraband goods to sustain its economy. Traders from other European powers, particularly the Dutch and English, found willing partners in local settlers eager to bypass Spanish regulations. Sugar, tobacco, and cacao, prized commodities in Europe, were secretly cultivated and sold to smugglers who transported them to foreign markets. In return, the colonists received much-needed supplies, weapons, and luxury goods. This illicit trade created a shadow economy that undermined Spanish authority while enriching local merchants and foreign traders alike. The legacy of piracy. Piracy in the Caribbean was not merely an economic phenomenon, but also a cultural force. Pirates brought with them a code of conduct, though brutal by today's standards, that emphasized loyalty among their crews and a disdain for oppressive rulers. To the enslaved and oppressed populations, the pirates' defiance of colonial powers offered a glimmer of hope and a semblance of resistance. Escaped enslaved Africans, indigenous peoples, and even some European outcasts found refuge among pirate crews. These diverse groups created unique, albeit temporary, communities bound by necessity and shared opposition to colonial exploitation. Tobago's turbulent ownership. While Trinidad remained under Spanish rule, Tobago's story was one of constant upheaval. The island changed hands numerous times throughout the 17th century, claimed by the Dutch, French, British, and Courlanders from present-day Latvia. Each power sought to establish plantations and fortifications, only to face resistance from rival claimants and frequent pirate attacks. Tobago's instability made it a haven for smugglers and buccaneers, who exploited the lack of centralized control. The island's forests and secluded inlets provided perfect cover for their activities, turning Tobago into a lawless frontier where the line between colonist and criminal often blurred. The impact on the indigenous peoples. The Arawaks and Caribs, already devastated by Spanish colonization, faced further displacement and violence during this period. Pirates and smugglers showed little regard for indigenous populations, often raiding their villages for supplies or capturing them for labor. Despite these challenges, the Caribs, in particular, continued to resist. In the forests of Tobago and the interior of Trinidad, they waged guerrilla-style warfare against both colonists and invaders. Their knowledge of the land allowed them to evade capture and launch surprise attacks, making them a persistent thorn in the side of colonial authorities. Colonial responses. As piracy and smuggling flourished, colonial powers sought to restore order. Spain, weakened by overextension and economic decline, struggled to defend its holdings in Trinidad. Fortifications like the Fortín de San José were built to deter attacks, but they offered little protection against the chaos engulfing the region. In Tobago, rival powers fortified their claims with garrisons and settlements, but these efforts often ended in failure. The Dutch attempted to establish plantations, only to be driven out by French forces. The British and Courlanders faced similar fates, as the island's contested status made sustained control nearly impossible. A shifting balance of power. By the late 17th century, the age of piracy in the Caribbean began to wane. European powers, recognizing the threat posed by lawlessness to their colonial ambitions, increased naval patrols and cracked down on pirate strongholds. Treaties between rival nations also brought a semblance of stability to the region, reducing the appeal of privateering. For Trinidad and Tobago, this period marked the beginning of a new chapter. The decline of piracy and smuggling paved the way for more organized colonial endeavors, but the island's legacy as a haven for rogues and rebels remained etched in their history. The wild era's enduring legacy. The buccaneers and smugglers who roamed the waters of Trinidad and Tobago left more than just legends. They shaped the island's culture and economy. The spirit of defiance, born in the age of piracy, would echo through the centuries, influencing later struggles for freedom and identity. As the Caribbean entered the 18th century, Trinidad and Tobago stood on the cusp of transformation. The wild era of pirates and smugglers gave way to an age of plantations and colonial expansion, bringing new challenges and opportunities for its people.